Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird, but helpful.
Just like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help, maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good happiness, man.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both. Hey, welcome to the podcast.
What's up, baby?
Are you going to be... Last week, you were a little...
I'm fidgety all the time.
You're a little much.
Well, I'm trying to move my chair right now so you hear that squeak.
And there's the clunk, clunk, clunk of his drink.
Dude, it's like 4:30 in the evening already.
It's a Thursday.
It's Thirsty Thursday. If you're not like three drinks in by 4:30, you're not from the South.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, there's this lady, and for a random thought, because we always start with a random thought, who, this is kind of like old news now, but it's my favorite story, because it just shows how wrong people can be. Like, they're well-meaning.
How wrong?
Yes.
I think that wrong's not the right word. She's definitely wrong. Anyways,
it's,
go ahead.
It's like, people are so well-meaning, and they get so fixed on their understanding of what is around them and the world, right?
Yeah.
And they refuse to see other possibilities. And yeah, in a weird way, this story kind of exemplifies that, right? But it's the story about a woman in England at a Cheshire. She's in Cheshire or Cheshire, England, right?
Yeah.
And she found a baby hedgehog, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I found this baby hedgehog on the side of the road and it hasn't moved or pooped all night and I don't know what to do with it. So she brings it to this animal hospital after trying to take care of it all night.
She only had it for one night?
Yes. She picked it up off the side of the road.
What the hell was she trying to feed it?
She tried to give it some food, maybe some kitty or doggy wet food. She put it on
Chinese food, maybe.
She put it on, maybe it's chicken teriyaki. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. She put it on a newspaper, right? She kept watch, right?
Yeah.
Like, she like put it in a box, but she didn't like stare at it the whole time because she didn't want to stress it out.
So what happened when she took it to the vet?
Anyway, like, she barely handled it. She scooped it in a box and it was cat food. She left it alone in a warm, dark place. She did everything right, according to veterinarians, right?
Yeah.
When you're trying to like rescue a wild animal. But it turned out
It was already dead. Was it really?
No, it wasn't a hedgehog at all.
What?
It was a pom-pom.
A pom? Like it had no feet, tails, face, or anything?
No, it was just a fluffy pom-pom.
I mean, I know hedgehogs like roll up as a defensive posture, yes, but do they literally hide every single body part inside of their spiny skin?
I don't know. The vet said in the article from MSN, it was pretty obvious to us. But I can also see how she was mistaken.
That vet's very kind.
I know. She said, "You're joking. Oh my goodness, how did I do that?" She was so concentrated on doing the right thing. She was concerned it hadn't moved or even pooed. That would have been spooky if it had.
Yeah, would it?
Like
a pooing pom-pom.
So the wildlife hospital wrote about it on Facebook, and they were like, "Our hearts melted as a kind soul thought she was rescuing a baby hedgehog." They named the pom-pom Hoglet.
That's crazy.
And the whole point of the story for everyone who's a good person is, like, kindness has no bounds,
right? I hope they took that pom-pom to the rescue organization so they could put it in, like, one of the animal cages. They could be like, "This is our baby pom-pom Hoglet. She's been a baby hedgehog for 14 years now." Never moved or pooed.
But the point here is that's so nice and it's so lovely, right? But at the same
time... I don't know, is it?
She tried so hard to save Bumpkin. I think there's another
option here you've been avoiding for the whole podcast thus far. I don't even want to bring it up.
Well, then why are you bringing it up?
Well, I'm just saying, I think it goes unnamed.
My point here is it's lovely and kind, and she tried to do something really nice.
That is the best factor.
And that's like the best part of the story.
Right.
But there's a sub part of the story where, as I mentioned before, we get so fixated on seeing what we want to see.
Yeah.
That we may not see that our baby hedgehog is a pom-pom.
That's right. I agree.
You know, and like sometimes...
Or your pom-pom's a baby hedgehog.
And not this lady, right? I'm sure this lady's really lovely. But like sometimes we want to be on a crusade so hard that we're incapable of seeing other sides. Oh,
I see where you're going with this. You are 100% correct, baby.
Okay.
I'm telling you that now. There are people in our own town that suffer from this disorder.
Yeah, like, and it's just like you become so narrowly focused.
Yeah.
That.
And I'm sure we do suffer from it time to time.
Of course we do. That you don't see all the nuance and all the realities outside your really narrow looking.
That's right.
You don't look out your periphery and use your peripheral vision. You've just got the blinders on, man.
It happens to all of us. But? It may not be like, it could happen to any person, and it might just be like a, you know, like a in the house manner. Like a,
oh, yeah.
Not a, like a fucking, oh, excuse Ooh. Me, like a really out in public matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I believe there's a little bit of a difference.
And writers are supposed to be able to see and understand differing point of views, just like journalists are supposed to, right?
Yeah.
But I sort of feel like we're not building that skill set in humans anymore. Like that ability to discern and investigate and...
Oh, no. That's gone right out the window since 2000-something. I had a specific date in mind. I decided to change course. But anyways, you're 100% correct. Anyway, that could be our whole podcast, so you better shut her down.
Shut off our randomness. Hey, babe.
What up, G? You can't surprise me like that. I was totally unprepared for that. I haven't cleared my throat or done my fa-la-la's or anything yet. What are you laughing at?
Your fa-la-la's. You what? Looked up to the ceiling like you're...
That's because I saw that giant dust bunny up there. I was expecting it to move. I thought it was like a dust spider.
Is that a kind of spider you all have
in common? Well, in this house it might be, because when they walk around they get caught up in the dust webs.
That's so mean. Now people have such a wrong image of our house.
Yeah, it's not dirty. Like it's
just dust spiders everywhere. It's not dirt.
It just ain't clean. No, it's clean. Well, maybe
you could try to help a little bit with the clean.
Okay. Are you really, really going to go there with me?
Oh, you just made me feel like... Why is your hand on your heart?
Because you heard it.
You heard me!
No, it's not about that. Our house is clean. It's just that we have 5 animals running around here, and like you have a husband that doesn't take his shoes off when he comes back inside.
No, he doesn't.
So it's clean. Like, it's not cluttered. We don't have piles of newspapers stacked around. We're not hoarders, or no offense to hoarders.
Okay? No, no, no.
Everybody's got their thing. We might be cat hoarders, actually. But anyways.
Not my fault.
Definitely not your fault, baby. You know, our house is clean. We don't have enough time to do the finite stuff sometimes. But I want everybody to know that I am the domestic servant in this
house. Oh, really? Really? Who cleaned all the bathrooms today?
My God.
Really?
That's because Emily's coming home.
Who takes a toothpick and runs along the edges of things?
And when do you do that?
Every time I'm stressed out.
No, but specifically, I'm looking for like a time. Can we just move on to the podcast? Because you'll just get mad at me after you lose this argument.
I'm not going to lose. You know what you're doing?
What?
You're seeing the world with blinders on. You're making sure your truth is right.
Oh, no. I'm not. I'm adding up the time invested in domestic chore. But hey, to be fair, everybody, I'll be Carrie's little woman all day long because she's the major breadwinner. I'm not complaining.
He's complaining.
No, not at all. I don't mind doing laundry, cooking dinner and dishes and stuff. That's easy.
I help.
You do.
Okay.
That's not... I'm not like trying to say that Carrie's lazy.
Oh, my God.
What I was trying to get her to admit to is that her little toothpick excursions are 5 or 10 minutes at a time because her day is so structured that she works for 25 minutes and then she takes a 5-minute break. And other than maybe lunch or a little workout, she doesn't even allow herself to actually take a break. She'll go find some crevice to clean with a toothpick. She's really phenomenal. I'm not putting you down at all, so stop, because this is a point of view thing.
All right, ready for the spiral? All right. That was a lot.
I know, I gave myself heartburn with all
that. That was a lot, Shawnee. All right, but this podcast is called The Spiral of Ick and Quiet Winners. You don't have to flaunt yourself to succeed. You spelled
quit.
No, I didn't.
I was just kidding.
Oh, thank God.
Well, how come sometimes it seems like people that do flaunt themselves kind of succeed more?
They're loud winners.
Loud winners?
This is not about them. Yeah, this is called quiet winners.
So there's quiet winners.
So recently, I read an interview with an author who talked about how much children loved her book and how they tell her this all the time. And it was like this big part of the interview and the story. And it made me upset. Let's just say it annoyed me.
It sure did.
Because it may be good marketing for her, but as somebody reading that, I wasn't like, oh, yay, I want to read her book. I was like, oh, she's full of herself.
Well, you know, child baby.
So it's good. Having been a children's book author for a while, I don't like to talk about myself in interviews, and I definitely would never be... Oh, well, this person told me that they had never read a book all the way through until they read my book. Or this person told me that it changed their life. Or this person told me that they became a social activist with Amnesty International because of my book. I don't do that.
No, you don't. Because you could, oh my God, you could do a whole visit of any kind, an author visit. You could cover 3 hours. I swear to God, people, I will swear on a Bible this. Carrie does not appreciate. She's always like, oh, what's my purpose? And I don't.
That's not the point of this article.
I don't care. And then I have to remind her, like, how many people that have told. I mean, Christ, go Google Carrie Jones quotes online. Right there. That's enough.
Oh, my gosh. Anyways, no, don't. But point here is that who does that? Like. Who is like...
Somebody that's insecure, baby.
It's just... And, but also who reports that? Like, oh, there we go.
Oh,
like,
it's somebody.
Anyways, my point here is...
I got a name. What's her name?
Nope. When you're interviewed by a reporter or when you do a school visit, if you're an author, as a children's book author, you have just like every other moment in all your life. You can toot your own horn or you can... toot somebody else's horn, right?
Yeah.
And like, when I see people constantly tooting their own horn, when they have opportunities to lift up children, when they have opportunities to lift up other writers, when they have opportunities to lift up the school that they visited, when they have opportunity and they just lift up themselves, it sends me into a spiral of
it. It sure does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been like 2, 3, 4. I can't tell you how long it's been, but she's obviously still mad about it.
I am mad about it. So lately, I've been thinking a lot about how to get more of my very long work day that Shawnee randomly just talked about to not feel like work, right? And to not be like that author and how not to be insecure in other ways and how to make consistently enough money writing things to keep the family float, right? And on Monday, it was yesterday when I wrote this, but yesterday is long gone and we're late on the podcast.
Oh, that's how we've been busy, dude.
So Monday on the blog, we talked about the zone of genius, which is another thing I kind of hate. I'm really opinionated now. And also the flow state, which I'm much more into, and that's just like the flow state is places where work feels good and it feels right and you lose track of time. And to me, what doesn't feel right is tooting your
That's
own
horn. That's for sure.
Damn
you
it.
Never toot your own horn.
But I don't like it. Anyways, on the podcast, I thought about how all of this is like really overcomplicating things, right? Shawnee?
Yeah.
And but the thing is that like life and happiness is really about doing what you love. It's about like going for that and seeing what happens if you put the time in. It's not about shouting, look at me, I'm successful, unless that's what gives you joy. And if so, yay you. Maybe that writer isn't it.
I think it's kind of evil. I mean, I'm sure you could argue that I'm wrong because you know a lot more really super duper famous authors than I do. But I feel like people that toot their horn too much are not very super secure in their success personally.
Yeah,
yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like, you know, you want, when you're successful, you're there because you've earned it. Like, be okay with it. Share it. Lift other people up with it, you know?
Yeah.
And like, life is about doing what you love, but it's also about taking the steps to learn more and more about what you love, about listening to other people and not just talking about yourself.
That's right.
Taking off those blinders.
You know what I mean?
About reality. Helping other people and helping yourself by learning. What?
You know what I hate more than anything?
Me.
No!
King Grandpa.
I was
going
to say people that constantly interrupt. But that's a joke about me. But no, that's, I was gonna say, people like, so you listen to them talk for like 5 to 12 to 33 minutes, and then you maybe have a conversation or at least an acknowledgement of what they said.
Yeah.
And then like you start to talk about something that's, you know, actually interesting to you or a story.
Oh no. Yeah.
And then you're like 47 seconds into it, and then they start talking again about something that's not related whatsoever to what you're talking about. Yeah. Like, they didn't listen to you at all.
Yeah.
People are so self-consumed.
Yeah. Or, like, people who call you, and they, like, tell you a bunch of stuff, and the moment you start to say something, they're like, oh, gotta go.
And I never think that self-consummation...
Consummation?
Consumption. Whatever the word might be. Being consumed with oneself. I never think of that in a positive light.
I know, it's interesting, isn't
it? What are you doing? Trying to get me to look at your sexy shoulder?
No, don't pull my shirt. Oh my. All right, anyways, the best writers see outside themselves and into the lives and emotions of others. They see the yearnings and the obstructions and the needs and the conflicts of others. Right now, the conflict is Sean's trying to pull my shirt down and I'm trying to do a podcast. The best storytellers know that stories aren't just about them. And
did you say that was a conflict?
It is a conflict.
Because that's really the need. The conflict is that Carrie keeps pulling her bra strap and her shirt back up.
No. Oh my gosh. So anyways, my point is, writers can do this. Not the bra strap stuff, but like the ability to know that stories aren't just about them, right?
That's right.
And
they can't be.
And like... everyone, if they're a writer or artist or human, like, whatever you do, you've got to put in the time and go after your dream, and you've got to stop worrying about the market and your niche and just overcomplicating things and do the things that put you into that flow state and the things that give you joy. You just have to start, right?
Yeah.
So why don't you read this aloud?
All right. If you love writing, write. Oh, share it. That's it. But please don't be an egotistical ass about it.
That's right.
It's okay to communicate and focus on people who aren't yourself, even if you're an artist. Make it a habit to write and make it a habit to share what you write. And ask people to follow you wherever you are. Substack, WordPress, X, formerly known as Twitter, Medium, whatever. It's okay to ask. Don't constantly ask. Don't only ask, but it's okay to write and make money at it.
Yeah, but it's different. Like, there's a line, right? Like,
yeah.
So recently I've been on a kind of a Tim Denning kick, and he's this writer and blogger, and he has an interesting bit about the habits of quiet winners. And he writes about how they don't do media, they don't flaunt their success, they make fun of themselves, and they give credit to others. And it's really pretty interesting to me because it's how I was raised, and I think how you were raised. And it's also like that Lori McKenna song that Tim McGraw sang, Humble and Kind, about how even when you become successful, you want to stay humble and kind, right?
Right.
And we're having a lot of crisis in our town right now because somebody isn't being very humble and kind.
That's for damn sure.
One of the coolest bits in Denning's blog that he says about the 8 habits of quiet winners is doing their work is what they like doing, not being noticed for doing their work. And I was like, well,
that is the most important statement right there.
Yeah.
If you're doing it, you know, for the accolades and stuff like that, then you're not, it's not truly like your life's, what do you call it? Like,
passion.
Passion or what you're really supposed to be doing, for sure.
Yeah. And I just think that's so interesting because of that writer and how it was very, like, at least the way the story, new story was sculptured, it was very, look at me, look at me.
Yeah, for sure.
And it just felt icky.
You better finish this quote, man.
Anyways, the rest of the quote is, the meaning from their work cuts so deep that if a loud human being understood it, they would give up life and start again.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Pretty deep, right?
Very deep.
Super deep.
Pogi came in to listen finally.
I know.
She's going to give us a super fast dog tip today.
And the other aspect of it all is like that on his blog, he has like, the things about quiet winners is they can be a loser in an area of their life and they're okay with it. Like me. I know I suck at a million things, right?
What?
You know
I
do.
That's not true.
Oh, that sounded real.
That is not true, sweetheart.
Oh, okay.
Not at all.
And they don't care about looking like a winner. They ask more questions than they give answers to. They give credit to other people. They can make fun of themselves and they don't flaunt success metrics. And then they dress normal. They dress normal, which is
I'm not
my
laughing
favorite
at
one.
That because you do dress pretty normal.
They don't do media, and that whole thing is that differentiator, the why they do it, because they like to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they're what they're meant to be doing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the difference right there.
Right there. All right, dog tip ready?
In it. Usually you can build off of that. Baby.
Oops, I pressed record.
That's all right.
All right, you're going to go. Ears. All right, man.
Dog tip for life.
I'm not taking that out. I'm going to let this podcast be natural.
That's the way I like it, baby. All natural. What?
What's the dog tip for life there?
Oh, Punky's like, don't fly. If you gotta flaunt your success, you're not doing the right thing.
What?
She's like, when I get a treat, I don't make it known to everybody that I was successful. She said, truth be known, all the cats would want one too. But then that's a waste of treats.
No, she's secretive about her treats, actually.
But it's better just to take your treat, pretend like it was no big deal. Walk around the bar one time and start begging for another.
Begging for another.
So you don't have to broadcast your success. Don't make it all about you.
Do you think that when Tim Denning's list of what makes someone a quiet winner, is the opposite a loud winner or a loud loser?
Oh, I have to imagine there's four. Yeah. There's a quiet loser, loud, quiet winner, loud loser, loud winner.
Yeah, man.
Right?
Yeah.
You know.
That's interesting, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd say Pogi is a quiet loser.
You say she's a loser? Why?
Because she's so reactive and sad. You know, like, I don't know if she's winning at life.
Depends. I worry about her. Well, wait, she's outside. So.
I thought she was on the
love scene. I know, I let her out.
I was trying to see her. I'm like, where's the baby?
She's outside in the snowstorm.
Oh, yeah, we better go get her.
She'll be all right.
Thanks for listening.
Yes, thanks for listening, folks. All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, you know?
I do. We've been saying it. It's summer spleef. If I broke for free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog. And it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new,
amazing, creepy podcast is Dude, No! It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast,
Loving the Strange,
which we stream live
on Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah, we can't take much more.